So today, I'm going to be speaking on strongholds of God or footholds of Satan. And what I'm going to be speaking on is, where are we going to walk? Am I going to walk in the freedom that Jesus Christ gives me? Am I going to walk in his power? Am I going to trust him? Or am I going to, and we all do, get caught up in the footholds of Satan? And what I'm going to speak from today is Psalm 37. And David writes, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong." Can I say something? I read social media. Some of y'all are worrying way too much about November. We worry about this country. Why? What is my worry going to do? Do I like stuff that goes on? No. But I trust God. And he says, Dick Beaumont, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. You can fill your name in. This isn't just for me, okay? For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Speak to us today, Lord. Let us not misuse that last verse. That doesn't mean when I delight myself in you, I'm going home to a brand new SUV, that the Detroit Tigers will never lose another game, and I will have an endless supply of peanut butter pandemonium. What it means is, as I give my life to you, my desires are what yours are. I should say, your desires become mine. For I lay myself down. I'm excited for what you're doing here, Lord. I'm excited for the challenges you've put before us. Lord, you've been pruning me, and I'm going to tell you, yeah, I don't like that. But I thank you for it, because you want me to be the man you have called me to be. And that means I got to surrender. I got to face facts. Speak your peace to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I recently went to a doctor's appointment, and he asked me, are you a water drinker? I say, duh, how else do you make coffee? I mean, come on, get a brain, will you? But then he let me know that's not what he was talking about. I am not a water drinker. Oh, I can make myself drink water. But it's not like, yay. He said, gotta drink at least a gallon a day. Somebody said, you know, they say you should drink half your body weight. I said, I am not drinking 85 pounds of water a day. They said, no, I mean ounces. So I said, okay. Well, so why am I gonna work at this? Because I know what I gotta do for my health. Oh, I can ignore it. Maybe the consequences won't be too much fun. Psalm 37, David shows us how can we walk in spiritual health. You know, a lot of times we don't. We're agitated, we're angry, and it's on us, because God says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. And I'm going to lay something before you. I honestly want you to go through this next week and look, what do you do that really ticks you off? I don't have my phone with me. Look at your screen time. What? Oh, I was only on it 3 hours a day. Were you in the Bible 3 hours a day? Well, I get on Facebook. I don't like Facebook sometimes because people talk. And they say stuff. I don't watch a lot of the news. I'm not an ignorant person. I read stuff, but I'm not going to stay there because I'm tired of people telling me how to think and getting me agitated. Why would I do something that isn't going to bring me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's all kinds of music I like to listen to, but I'm going to be honest. If I get old Neil out and I put his CDs in, it changes my attitude over time. So I'm careful of how much I listen to stuff that doesn't point me to the Lord. You know, like most things we have to do to stay healthy, following David's advice, it takes effort on your part and on my part. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will help you. Learning when to step aside. And what I'm talking about today is your opinions, your desires, your motivations, my opinions, my desires. Take care of your soul. David warns of things that cause us to deteriorate spiritually. Then he gives advice on how to avoid spiritual damage. He says, verse 1, don't worry about the wicked. Don't worry about the wicked. Let me say something about politics. Anybody running for office that does not know Jesus Christ is wicked. I don't care if they line up more with your point of view or not. We need the Lord. So you don't worry about that. It's like me. Sticking bills are 2-0 this year, but I can't worry about the wicked. The Yankees are going to make the playoffs. But don't worry about the wicked. Or envy those who do wrong. But we do. Do you ever see how come I'm doing everything right and I'm getting blasted? They're doing everything wrong and it seems like they're walking on sunshine. Don't worry about it. And you really do. I'm begging you to go home and pray. What is in my life that agitates my spirit? And step away from it. Sometimes, for me, it's people. There's times I've ministered with people, I've hung out with people, and there's times God has said, okay, that's enough. You can't work at it harder than they do. Sometimes it's just people that, you know, I remember when I first got saved, my best friend, he would like to test my faith. So we'd go to the movies and, you know, Melody would come with us and he'd be dropping F-bombs and everything he could. So I prayed about it. The Lord said, don't give him up, but your wife's not coming anymore. So I said, you know what? You're not hanging with us anymore because I'm not exposing you to this. But then the Lord would give me strategies on as he got outrageous. I got more outrageous for the Lord and pretty soon he just shut up and he accepted who I was. Now, if God had said to me, walk away from that relationship, I would have. But I haven't for almost 50 years. We put so much time and effort into worrying about things out of our control. But being concerned is one thing, but too often we go into the deep end, we saturate our life with it. The dreaded what ifs. What if this happens? What if I say this and they say this to me? Or what if we become a communist nation? Or what if the Bills win the Super Bowl? Or what if Stewart's quits making peanut butter pandemonium? We just worry about stuff that's wild and it takes our spirits down. Now, you know I'm using stupid examples about real things. Worrying and envying is not God's way of thinking. Those are the devil's tools. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. I like what Kevin Wassler says. When there is close fellowship with the Lord, a person's heart's desires will match God's will and purposes. Take delight in the Lord means, God, I want to do things your way. And please understand, I am not downplaying some of the severe trials you guys are going through. But what I am doing is trying to lift up Jesus Christ and say, don't fall into this cesspool of worrying. You know, Janet Elizabeth Smith Beaumont was my mom. She was an amazing woman. I've shared this story before, and I'm like 10 years old. I'm talking smack, and a woman weighed like 90 pounds, and she said, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to flip you into the refrigerator. I talk smack, and she flipped me into the refrigerator. Let me tell you something about Janet Beaumont. If there was a professional worrying league, she would be the MVP. Hey, I mean, my gosh, the first time I went to Ghana, on a missions trip, she was a nervous wreck. I remember the last time I went, that she was alive, I had to call her from there and say, we're all okay, we're not dead. So that's a part of me. Wait a minute, there was an earthquake in Maryland, I gotta call my daughter to make sure one out of a million people, it wasn't her. So we worry about things. What if this happens? What if I lose my job? What if God wants me to do something I don't wanna do? What if? God says, don't worry. This guy's saying, when you have close fellowship with the Lord, your will is going to be what God's is. Too often, we try to, I'm going to fast, and then God's going to do this. No. I have found when I fast and pray, sometimes my life gets even harder. Why? Because there is a devil, and he wants me to take his foothold and grab me and to worry about things God said, don't worry about. David's prescription for spiritual health, do not worry. Then verse 3 says, trust God, delight yourselves in the Lord. We need to rejoice. I mean, today worship was fantastic. Bill, thank you. Thank you, Seamus. I love worshiping Jesus. We need to rejoice. You need to be joyful about what God has given you. I rejoice because my Detroit Tigers are sniffing the playoffs, at least for the first time in years. That brings me joy. Let's delight rather than, well, they're not going to. I don't care. They almost did. Let's be happy. We can minister to ourselves. Be thankful about what you have and what God has done. Don't look at the what ifs. Don't look at what you don't have. You belong, if you've made that commitment, you belong to Jesus Christ. At the end of my days, no more pain, no more sorrow, nothing but joy. Me and Jesus and a whole bunch of saints. So I got to keep my mind on that. Gratitude is powerful. Rather than think about what you don't have, be thankful about what you do have. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're going to be negative and you're going to, I wish, if you're going to complain, then you're not thinking God's way. God wants you to have gratitude. When I follow his instructions and in his words, I realize one thing. God's instruction is not based on my ability to understand. I'm not going to. I may not even agree with it if we're honest, but I got to walk in trust with the Lord. It goes on to say in 37:5-7, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Close your eyes. Just for a moment, be still in the presence of the Lord. You can open them and wait patiently for him to act. That's hard. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. You know, it's time to resign. Don't get excited. I'm not making an announcement. It's time for you and me to resign and to give my whole life to Jesus Christ. My emotions, my plans, my money, my job, my relationships, where I live. It's time to resign. Charles Spurgeon wrote, we need to roll the whole burden of life onto the Lord. What are you worrying about? Just sit back and, Lord, it's yours. Now, I guarantee you're going to have to do that more than once. But you just keep, when you start worrying about stuff, Lord, it's yours. You know, I had friends of mine up north, and they were farmers. I tell you what, a farmer has to have seed. They plant a seed. They don't know what the weather's going to be. You know, I've talked to people like my friend Wade, who's in the apple business. The last 2 years with the late frost, they've taken a heavy hit financially. So some of these farmers, like I had a friend of mine who was a dairy farmer up north, and his cows got a disease, and they kept dying, and he had to have Cornell Cooperative Extension come. He lost $100,000 that year. That's walking by faith when God calls you to be something like a farmer. And God calls us to be Christians, and we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know what God's going to do, but we have to trust him. We have to keep trusting God no matter what happens. Do I get mad? Come on, you guys know me. I can be a passionate person. I can be impulsive with my emotions. I can vent. I can let loose. But then I always go back to God and say, okay, God, forgive me. Let's walk this out. I don't understand, but I need to sit at your feet and let you touch my spirit, Lord God. This isn't easy. You don't just go to God and say, God, I'm worried about this. I'm going to give it to you. And boom, the anxiety's gone. Come on, let's get real. But when I do that, it doesn't own me anymore. I own it through the power of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit in me. And God cuts those bondage from me. I don't walk in the footholds of Satan. I walk in the stronghold of God. Satan, you're going to come against me. You're going to discourage me. Something I never shared here, I wasn't going to till just now. About 5 years ago, I had a pastor friend of mine. He came to me and said, hey, I had a dream you killed yourself. Is everything okay? I'm thinking, why would you tell me that? A, I'm not even close to killing myself. I told another pastor that who was overseeing me. He goes, that's really stupid. I said, yeah, I know, but here's what God said to me. You're going to go through a long, hard season. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Life isn't always easy. God don't do things according to my plans. And this ain't no pity party. But I'm just saying, even though that was really kind of a stupid thing to say, I knew what God was preparing me for. And I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. Because I delight myself in the Lord. I've learned the hard way that obedience in hard situations does not result in everything being amazing. Have you ever been stupid? Like I have been? Oh, I'm obeying you, God. Here comes money. Here comes Facing the Giant movie, a new red pickup truck. Sorry. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, don't watch it. I'm going to obey God, and I'm just going to be my own TV show, my own website, podcast, whatever you call it. No, sometimes when I obey God, it gets harder. Why? Satan wants to discourage me. Satan wants me to quit. He knows God's given us new marching orders, so he says, oh, wait for me, sports fans. So that's why I say, God, I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm keeping my eyes on you. And I know sometimes when I obey, look at Jesus. He obeyed God. How'd that turn out for him? Read the book of Jeremiah and see what he went through obeying God. I liked what I saw on Facebook, and I posted it. This guy's talking about, is Jesus God? And he talked about the disciples. Now, non-Christians will give you all kinds of stupid beliefs about the disciples. Here are 11 men that saw Jesus die and get raised to life. And they believed it, and they preached it. The Roman government hated them, and they're rejected by their own people, the Jews. Out of the 11, 10 were crucified. 10 were put to death horribly. And I've said it a lot lately. John died a natural death, but he was boiled alive in oil and somehow still lived. So here are men that obeyed God, and they suffered greatly. David tells us how we can get rest for our souls. Be still and wait patiently. I so come against the American culture that's crept into the church. The busier I am, the godlier I am. That is so untrue. Now, I'm not talking about being lazy, and you guys know that. But what I'm saying is, God, what is it you want me to do? Busyness is not next to godliness. Cleanliness may be. So if the person next to you is moving away, think about it. But the next time you get overwhelmed, you're worrying. You know what I'm talking about. You wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. You got to thank God that he's in control. I find when I do that, I get just a little bit of peace. And I keep doing that and say, man, Jesus, you're in control. After a while, okay, it doesn't hold on to me so much. You know, Jesus' crucifixion shows us what? Sometimes the wicked succeed and the righteous fail. But that was God's plan. Uh-huh. Maybe it's God's plan, what's ever going on in your life. But I don't want this. Uh-huh. I moved up north. My daughter hated it. She now lives up there. She met a man. That's her home. Huh. you think God knew more than she did, maybe? I don't know what you're going through. God works together for the good, everything for those that love God and called according to his purpose. Let's stop the worrying, church. Leo Durocher managed the Brooklyn Dodgers. Probably none of you remember that. Talking about Mel Ott, he said, "Nice guys finish last." That's not true. But we got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop being angry. Boy, can I relate to this. Turn from your rage. Can I say something? This summer I talked about gifts of the Spirit. I talked about fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to say what I've been saying for a long time. I don't care what your gifts are. I don't. If you're not walking in the fruit. Because you minimize and you take away the impact that they have. So God's saying, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed. But those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Again, I'm not talking elections. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. Don't make room for the devil. I used that color once because, you know, Christians, like I said, they can be stupid. I'm working with a young Christian and he's repenting because he's wearing black and red. I'm going, yeah? Well, those are the devil's colors. Now, I did not know that his Bible said if you wear red and black, you're worshiping the devil. So I put that up there to break that bondage. I've often said emotions are liars. You know why? Because they mislead us. If you go off half-cocked on your emotions, you're going to get yourself in a whole bunch of problems. Oh, feelings are real. I mean, you can't tell somebody, oh, yeah, you shouldn't feel like that. I mean, that is just an ignorant statement. That's how they feel. I can't tell you don't feel that way, but I can tell you how to walk through it and not be misled by it. They're important, but they blur our vision. Oh, look at this nice little puppy. Let me get it for little Junior for Christmas. And then you want to give it away in a month. Why? Because you're led by emotions. We had a dog for almost 14 years. I learned kids remember everything. You know, when we lived in Oswego, kids wanted the dog. I said, as long as you don't mind having a plastic bag on your hand when you take it for a walk. And when they knew what I meant, they said, yeah, we're good. So I said, if we ever live in a country, you can get a dog. About 12 years later, we moved to Copenhagen. Actually, it's more than that. It's like 15 years later, we went to Copenhagen. And my daughter said, hey, do you remember what you said? And I read somewhere in a book that said, be good to your word, even to your own hurt. So then my loving wife said, hey, a woman at work selling labs for $100. So we buy one. Then I go to a pastor's meeting. This pastor goes, praise God, the kids are out of the house. We hit, what do you call it? Empty nest syndrome. I'm just waiting for the dog to die. He's 15. I thought, what? I got it. What? So ours lived to be 14. We had a great time with him. I love bulldogs. My oldest daughter said, hey, my coworker Kelly has an old English bulldog you can have for free. Sent me a picture. Woo! I was a smart man. I closed that text right away. Because I don't want to make decisions based on emotions. When we used to discipline our kids, if it was time out, whatever, you do something wrong, go in your room, or come back half hour to an hour, because I'm not going to make major decisions based on my emotions. Melody Dockstader did, and look where it got her. You know what I'm saying? We can get angry, and we internally mull it over. We keep thinking about it. We keep getting madder and madder, and it grows and it grows, and Satan goes, oh, I got him now. Why would you say that? Because you ain't thinking God's way. I like what I heard Chuck Swindoll say this week. When you get angry, man, you think of the devil's way. But I'm angry about righteous stuff. Yep. Sell me on that one, please. You get angry. Please know that anger is not from Jesus Christ. So the more you work it up, I don't know what you do to get out of that funk. I put on worship music and just like, God, touch me. I just pray and say, Lord, touch me. You know, I got this pause, this, what do you call it on your phone? It's an app called Pause. I heard it Focus on the Family. It might be a 1 minute devotion. It might be a 3 minute. Sometimes, boom, I just hit that. It might be just for a minute, but it's enough to settle me and to let me to go forward. You know, the Bible tells us not to go to bed angry. You know, one of the things that we tell people when we do marriage counseling is don't talk about anything important after like 8:30 at night unless it's mandatory, because your emotions are skewed by the end of the night. But the Bible says turn from your rage. You're not of this world. We need to resist going down the rabbit trails and distractions that we can see day after day after day, if it's in the media, if it's whatever it is. I love sports, but there's a lot of times, like, you know, I haven't watched a lot of full games this year. I watched the Syracuse game when they got beat on the last play of the game. Hallelujah, wish I went to bed. A lot of times I say, you know what? I just don't want this agitation in my life. And if you're not a sports fan, I know you understand, you don't understand getting agitated. I've known this non-sports fan for a year. I might have married her. And sometimes I'm really mad. It just can't relate to that because that's not her world. But it's mine. Turn from your rage. Those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. I know my eternity. It doesn't mean we're going to possess America. It means I know my eternity. And when I get to heaven, the wicked will not be there. But I'm going to tell you what, I want to get involved with as many wicked as I can because I want to take as many with me as I can to heaven. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about verse 11. The lowly will possess the land and will give peace, will live in peace and prosperity. Because he wrote this commentary I like, The Treasuries of David, which is about Psalms. He says, above all others, they will enjoy life, even if they suffer. Their consolation will be far greater than their trials. This psalm reminds us to be humble. It reminds us to be cheerful. It reminds us to be content. We all know this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to close with a summary. Don't think like the devil. Don't dwell in your anger. Don't dwell in your worry. Don't dwell in the world of what ifs. Don't dwell in the worry. Don't be selfish. Don't be covetous. I want this. I want this. I want this. You know, we were reading a devotion this week, my wife and I like what he said about idolatry. We can all sit back and say, no, we're righteous, we don't have them. What is the one thing in your life right now that you wouldn't give up for God? I remember in Bible school, my teacher's son got called to China. He's been there since like 1999. And I remember how hard it was for his wife because you're not going to see your grandbabies. But God called him to China. So I said, wow, that's powerful. So what are you saying, Pastor? Don't make your children an idol. Don't dwell in the negative. God is a God of hope, not hopelessness. And if you really struggle with you just, everything's gloomy, when I pray, just put your hand up to the Lord. Say, God, I need a touch from you today, and he will. With faith in Jesus, live in the quietness of God. And be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46 tells us. So, Lord, we come before you right now. And, Lord, I admit to you, as you well know, the many, many times I allow the footholds of Satan to grab a hold of me. I don't think your way. I get in the flesh. I get in a carnal, I get mad, I get envious, I get whatever, and that's not from you, Lord. When I'm ticked at somebody, Lord, and I'm upset with somebody, and I keep mulling it over, and I think about revenge or about what I want to say, Lord, or if I'm jealous of people that seem to be succeeding better than me, Lord, that's devil thinking. That's not you. Your word tells me to concentrate on what is good and right. And I realize, Lord, the more that I think the wrong way, the farther I move away from your peace. You're not the one moving, Lord. I am. Agitation is really a good reminder that we're not walking with you the way we should be. Now, we're a work in progress, and I appreciate that, Lord. But help us to take the words of David to heart. To stop being angry. To commit everything to you, Lord God. To trust you and to do good. To take delight in you, Lord. I find in my life, I can find time to do the things that are of top priority to me, Lord God. It may be watching a game. It may be, I don't know, going someplace. But Lord, I want to drink your spiritual water. Just like I know physically I got to do more of that, I want to drink your water so that your river of life will flow from me. And right now, there's some of you that you've been going through it for a while, and God just wants you to have hope in him. God wants you to know that he is with you. Be like David and say, Lord, search me. And I do that. I pray, Lord, search me and show me what is in my life that's not of you. And he is faithful to do that. And sometimes, admittedly, I struggle with walking away from that, but I know I have to if it's from God. Just like physically, I know there's lifestyle changes I need to make for my health, that I want to do the same thing spiritually. I don't want to walk in the foothold of the devil. God wants us to have unity. God wants us to have peace. God wants our lives to show the same characteristics that Jesus did. Jesus was kind. Yes, he went against the religious leader and the false leaders, but if you look at Jesus, he was a kind man, righteously so. So I pray today, Lord God, that if there's any place we don't have your peace, any place that we have discouragement, Lord, that we would turn that over to you, that we would take time throughout the day to take a step back. Sometimes, Lord, it's 2 to 3 minutes. But just to say, Lord, I'm yours. I got to concentrate on you. I just pray that you bless your people in this room, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, awesome people. Have a great day.